Welcome to the Oboes True to the Trail podcast, where we explore the beauty and power of the outdoors through voices in the oboes world, from Bozeman and beyond. From the gear we use and the people who build them, to the places we love and the people who help us enjoy and protect them, we'll learn what being true to the trail means to them. I'm your host, Rich Hahn, Marketing Director at Oboes. Today, we're speaking to Kurt Smith, president of Schnee's, a landmark retailer in the downtown Bozeman, Montana landscape. Kurt talks about how they are faring in the face of the COVID-19 outbreak, lessons learned over the past few months, the future of specialty retail, and how Bozeman helps his business prosper. So let's get started. All right, joining me today is Kurt Smith, president of Schnee's, a fantastic retailer just down the street from where I am in Bozeman, Montana. Good morning, Kurt. How are you?
Good morning, Rich. I'm doing great here in downtown Bozeman. It's great.
Yeah, happy Friday and happy May Day as well. It's something we celebrate here in Montana because it means you're less likely, maybe by a fraction, to get snow today. So it's a nice time of year for sure.
Yeah, better bring some flowers home for my wife, you know?
That's right. Happy May Day to everyone out there. I want to talk to you about what's been happening in your world over the last couple months. It's been disruptive and interesting and all of that. And thank you for joining me on that. But I want to start a little bit on sort of your past and what is your journey in the outdoor industry and how did that journey begin? And talk to me a little bit about that, Kurt.
Yeah, sort of interesting, Rich. Going back to my high school years, I was introduced to a little store in Billings called the Backcountry, and a guy named Fred owned that store. He still lives in Red Lodge, and his right hand man was a guy named Pete. And those guys, my mom and I, one of our after school ventures was to go shopping, and we ended up in their store and gave them a little bit of money. But in lieu of that, they also took me under their wings, and I'd take a powder day every now and then. And Fred had picked me up in the morning on a Tuesday morning, and we'd go to Red Lodge and get some three-pin skiing in. And I'd go climbing with Pete. And then Pete and I would ski up on the Beartooth Pass. And I became friends with Pete, very good friends with Pete over the years. And in fact, just recently, a friend of mine delivered a backpack up here that Pete had used on a lot of those ventures, and Pete gave me this backpack. He retired recently from Sylvan Peak down in Red Lodge, and but still lives in Red Lodge and takes people over to the Himalayas and takes them on trekking adventures, and we wish him well on his future with that those adventures as well. So, but that's where it all kind of started, and at the end of the day, I was also, one of my part-time jobs was at a restaurant, and I really loved working with people. And so I was able to blend those two together. I got a degree from MSU, and while I was doing that, I worked at Schnee's, and that's 28 years ago now. And, it's the rest is sort of history, but history is kind of reshaping itself now. We're trying to figure out how to navigate these new waters. So, yeah, kind
absolutely.
Of. But at the end of the day, I'd say Kurt is a people person. I love being on Main Street. I love what we get to sell. I love to deliver a little bit of the outdoors to folks. And our business is fairly diverse. It goes from the outdoors, and we have a little hunting shop in the back, and that's a big piece of our business. And then we also have the fashion business as well. So we have this little department store down here on Main Street.
So it seems to me that the people are what kind of keep you engaged in your business. And obviously you have a love of the outdoors. You just spoke about your roots over there in the Billings Red Lodge area, not too far from us here, but it's the people that bring you back.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's relationships all the way from my good buddies over at Oboes all the way to every vendor we have. And, I find myself on the phone a lot. My wife just shakes her head when the phone rings, cause she knows it'll be a 20-minute call. And I think that's, one of the silver linings to this whole, COVID-19 thing we're up against is the fact that, it's brought a lot of us together. I've gotten to know you better, and I've gotten to know a lot of lot of people that I work with personally, but friends, family, you know, I find myself picking up my phone and just going through my phone book and who am I going to call today? You know,
so, that's been your only outlet, like all of us. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that is the sweet thing about this whole thing is that I've grown closer to some people and stayed in contact with my 90-year-old friend up in Havre, Montana, that moved from here, and he calls and checks in on me, and I call and check in on him, and so that's great.
You know, one of the things I'm interested in, and I know a colleague of mine said she was in Chenaze yesterday, because Chenaze, we should tell people, has been open since Monday when the state has sort of been in partial reopening mode. And they said they overheard you speaking to a customer about personally delivering shoes and obviously setting up curbside service. And I know that you're a very personable guy. And like you just said, and for 28 years, been part of the Chenaze and Bozeman culture here. You think there's been a little bit of a renaissance of getting back to this sort of personal service level that's been interesting for you to witness?
Yeah, actually, I've thought a lot about that. You know, when this whole thing happened, however many days ago, I mean, I was in Italy on March 1st when this thing, the whole thing was started to go down. And we can talk about that later on in this. But, you know, I spent a month out of my store. I have never been out of my store for a month. It was crazy. But we came back and, you know, and to the question that you asked is I tried to decide like how we were going to do this. And it became a natural thing for us to do the curbside pickup. And it became a natural thing for us to deliver. And it became a natural thing for us to figure out how we were going to sell things online and have customers call us and do FaceTime calls and all those things that sort of connect us to the customer. And at the end of the day, that's really what it boils down to. Is the customer and their needs and wants. And, you know, the renaissance of retail and the renaissance of how we deliver products to customers is truly one of those things that I think is will never go away. One of the elements that I missed in my last 6 weeks away from the store and not being able to do the daily deal in the store was the fitting stool. You know, you think about the chef that's on Main Street, you know, one of his tools of the trade is his knife, you know, and those, his roll of knives that he takes every day are crucial to his business. As a carpenter is to his hammer, you know, and one of the things that we hold true to our roots is our fitting stool. You know, we get to, and we have the honor to sit in front of our customers and sit in front of them and help them and lace their shoes and tie them. And we're proud of that and have been proud of it for the last 45 years on Main Street here in Bozeman as Chenaze. And we go back, dates way back to 1946 with the Powderhorn, which we acquired in 2006, I guess. And, you know, we've been doing Main Street business for a long time and connecting with our customers. But this fitting stool thing really sort of the light went off in my head. That was the thing that I missed most.
Yeah, it's that personal. That's really the point of the personal contact in the shoe industry and where the rubber meets the road a lot of times. And that brings me to my next thing I wanted to talk to you about is, I'm fairly new to the outdoor shoe industry. I've been in the outdoor industry for a really long time, but this is a new world and a new beast that I'm thoroughly enjoying. But it is a passionate group of individuals, and I'm wondering in your mind, what is it about shoes and interfacing with shoes and selling shoes and designing shoes that draws out your passion and makes one sort of a shoe dog? You know, Phil Knight wrote that famous book called Shoe Dog. But what is it about the shoe industry for you that keeps this passion burning?
Oh boy, it goes back to the people part, because we have relationships on the wholesale side with our vendors. We just did inventory and we kind of cleaned up and rooted out our list a little bit of vendors, but we have over 100 vendors and we have a lot of deep relationships all the way from owners of companies to our sales reps to accounting departments to tech reps to reps and a lot of rep relationships. And the relationships, you know, at the end of the day, we're in the shoe business and we're in, I like to think of it as we're all shoe people. You know, I've used that a lot lately, that we're shoe people. And what drives it is as a connection with a thing. You know, as I sit here and look at the shoes on my shelf in my office, and, you know, I look at the one that's sitting to my right here that's built and handcrafted by my guy in Italy. And his name is Carlo, and I have a relationship with him. I wake up every day and I look for a WhatsApp text from Carlo, you know, and it really keeps on going back to the people thing. But at the end of the day, he builds that shoe with his hands, and he's a craftsman, and he's got a talent that I want to like shine a light on, you know. And the same thing with all the other people. They're whether it's a rep or a shoe designer or owner of a company that's growing a new an entrepreneur that wants to start a shoe company, we all have our skills and our traits and our trades that we want to shine a light on, and that connection is all done through people. And it's I think the shoe is just a vehicle to develop these relationships. I think that the shoe is the piece, and I appreciate the leather, and I appreciate the hand of the leather and the little nuances and what makes each shoe unique. I have a special appreciation for all those little details of the shoe, but at the end of the day, it's just a vehicle for these relationships and to give people satisfaction in their job. You know, I had no idea I would be in the shoe business for 30, maybe 40 years. I don't know how much longer I'm going to go, but I had no idea when I was 20 years old, this is what I'd be doing. But it's that one thing, it's that common bind that I have an appreciation for. And I'm not a shoe guy. Like I don't collect shoes. I kind of wear the same shoe every day. I wear it out and I go on to my next one. But I have a true appreciation for people's appreciation for quality, fine footwear, whether it be a hiking boot or a casual shoe or a shoe to go to a ball with, you know?
Yeah. The shoe as a vehicle is an interesting notion, because it's that end experience. It's so powerful for a lot of us in the industry and in all of the people out there wearing the shoes. And it's that those memories that are created with each of those shoes. I have probably way more shoes than I need, but I'm not a collector of shoes like some folks I know. But I can tell stories around each one of those shoes in those adventures. And that's the best part, in my opinion.
Yeah. As the founder of Oboz says, there's no business like the shoe business.
That's right. Talk to me about the beginning of Schnaze. You've been around for, what is it, around 30 years or so in acquiring Powderhorn, which, for people that don't understand Bozeman, Schnaze has been a fine retailer of shoes for a long time, and Powderhorn was more of your traditional outfitter shop, and you merged in 2006, I think it was. But talk to me about the genesis of Schnaze and their journey.
So we started as Schnaze proper, started out as a shoe repair at 411 West Mendenhall, just down the street from us. And that's a little gray building down Mendenhall. When you're cruising down Mendenhall sometime, look right, and it's currently a hair salon. And
oh yeah,
the unique story about that is, one of the unique pieces of that is Oboz had their start in that building. That was their first true office. And I think that's a pretty cool thing, you know. And I kind of have the vision and the dream of owning that someday, but that's my little secret. So
sure.
Now that everybody
keep that between us.
But we started at 411 West Mendenhall, and Steve Schnee, who still lives in town. And in fact, I was just texting with him yesterday, and I would say one of my guys. I have my group of guys that are my influencers that have influenced my path over the years. And he is a key influencer, he and his wife. And I'm still very close with them, but they are the founders of the business and not associated anymore. But they were just in the shoe repair business, and they traveled west in 1974 and tried to find a home for they had one baby on the way, and they wanted to find a home, and they acquired shoe repair equipment in Anaconda, Montana, and moved it to Bozeman. And started Schnee's. It was at the time it was called Cobbler's Corner, and then it in 1978, I think we changed it to Schnee's Boot Works, and then shortly after that, when in 1987, when we moved to Main Street down next to the Baxter, it became Schnee's Boots and Shoes. And repair stayed with us until about 1994, and really, you know, caring for people's shoes, and that goes back to the hours of 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. We wanted to open at 8 a.m. in the morning. So guys that were coming to and gals that were coming to work downtown who needed heels on their shoes, we could take care of their shoes. So that's, you know, it's something we're not holding to right now. This is the first time we haven't opened at 8 a.m. in the morning. We've changed our hours from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on weekdays to 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. just in lieu of this with running it on a bit of a skeleton crew until we really know how this thing is going to progress. But that was kind of the evolution is from Mendenhall to Main Street. And at that point in 1987, we began producing shoes on Main Street with the famous Schnee's pack boots. We make a boot called the Hunter, and we make all the way down to just camp shoes and shoes for agriculture and about everything. And it's still a big, big piece of our business. And we have a factory 4 miles west of town, and we have a pretty good crew. I don't know how many there are right now, but out there building shoes every day. And we build those pack boots, and they're mainly for winter and inclement weather. So we build all the way from about now through August, and then in September they start selling, and we deplete our inventory, and then we start the cycle all over again. So, and that's a big piece of the business, and looking forward to some future developments in that world in the coming years. So,
oh, for sure, there'll be some as we progress. You know, we have been talking often through this COVID-19 scenario that we've all been surviving and trying to figure out what our current state and our future states will be. I'm wondering what are the things that you and the team down at Schnee's have learned through this COVID crisis? Are there even any things that you look at and go, this is going to help us long term because we had to face this crisis?
Yeah, you know, retail has always been the driver in our business, and retail is here to stay, like I just said a few minutes ago. But the one thing that we have, it has been our downfall, is that our national customer is different than our local customer. Our national customer buys our Schnee's boots. They buy the boots that have Schnee's on them. And that's been a great thing. It's really helped our brand. It's helped our brand locally and nationally. But at the same time, we have a store full of inventory down underneath me here. I'm in my office right now. That's full of inventory from great vendors like Oboz and great vendor partners like Oboz and many, many others. And we haven't been selling those really well online. We've been focusing on our brand, which is a great thing and has helped us long term. But at the same point, when we had to shutter the doors of the store for close to 30 days, that inventory got to sit here. It got to sit here and not move at all. And that's really hard on a company when you own and are paying for that inventory to be able to not have it move. And sort of going back to one of your questions about the delivery, that was the best part of this whole thing.
Yeah,
it was, I did it myself. I got up on Saturday morning and I looked through all of our orders and I found, and I did it with my son and my wife, and we all did it. And it was a joy to go out and walk a package up to the door, drop it on the door. The customer had placed this order online, give them a knock, go back to my car, give them a wave, give them a thank you, and make a connection. You know, we had to get sort of scrappy. We had to get sort of go back to our roots. And at the end of the day, I guess I will always be a merchant. I'm a merchant. I'm the guy that wants to go out in the morning and sweep the sidewalk, wants to spray off the sidewalk, wants to be a storekeeper. And but going back to your question, what did we do in the meantime? When we couldn't do as much of the face-to-face customer service things that we had done in the past, we figured out how to sell more things online that we weren't selling in the past. So that'll help us out in the future. That'll help us grow for the future. And so the person that wants an oboe shoe in Bozeman is going to go to our website and see every oboe shoe we have with live inventory of what we have in stock. And there's no question marks if we have oboes or not. In the past, there were some question marks. What do these guys really have? There was a list of brands down at the bottom of our website, but it was sort of hard to find. Now you go and you type in oboes into the search bar and you see every oboe shoe that we have and every other line of shoe we have as well. Maybe not everything at this point, but we're going towards everything.
Do you think you're going to continue the deliveries and all that going forward?
Yeah, being a better online retailer, because all of us will know that that's the way more people are shopping online than ever. So
that's certainly the case, and I don't think anything's going to change people from wanting to go into retail. I think the additional option is going to be really great for businesses like you. Do you think you're going to continue with the delivery service and the curbside and things like that going forward, or offer it in the local markets?
Yeah, we have been talking about it for sure. We will continue it for the near future. Shipping is expensive and it's a bit of a burden. If we can make a little bit of a route of delivery within the 15-mile radius that we've advertised, I think that's a great thing. You know, there are some expenses and there's some, to the local delivery, but we've been talking about it even before this happened. We were talking about free local delivery. in the grand scheme of things, people, when you get something shipped, you might get next day service, but one of the things that we're proud of is same day service.
Yeah, that's next level. That's awesome. I was with you around that March 1 timeframe. It was probably end of February, and we were talking about, ironically, plans for an event, which we're going to have to put on the little bit of the back burner in this condition, in this environment. But you were just about on your way to Italy, and I remember thinking, "Huh, he's going to go to Italy," and it was just—I mean, you couldn't have timed that any more worse. Interestingly than perhaps worse. Yeah. But you, like you said, you carry a lot of awesome brands. Oboe is one of them. You are one of our absolute best specialty retailer partners. But you also manufacture your own line of boots and awesome boots, and encourage people to check those out. A lot of them around the activity of hunting and really, really great stuff. So you understand both sides of the business. You've got the manufacturing side, but you also manufactured in Italy, which probably seemed about as safe as possible a year ago. But obviously it was one of the hubs, early hubs of the COVID-19 outbreak. How did you manage that? And you were there personally. How did that go down? And how are you currently managing that supply chain?
So, we knew the COVID thing was happening in Milan, and Milan is very close to the mountains where we build the boots, but not close enough that I was worried. And my original flight was into Milan, and I changed that to Rome and then directly into another airport that was out of the hot zone for COVID. And my son and I flew into Rome and then back into this other airport. And then we traveled into the mountains, and we didn't go into any city centers at all. And we knew we had to get in and out very quickly. And that turned out really well. There were no cases in the community where our factory is at up in the mountains, and we felt fairly safe. And then I was ironically supposed to go to a show in Germany that got canceled. And so in lieu of that, we went to Portugal and visited some shoe factories in Portugal. And then we had planned a holiday after that with the rest of my family in Madrid, of all places. We did that whole thing and had to come home a little bit early, 5 days early. And but in the midst of that, the factory did have to close. And so they actually just opened the beginning of this week. On Monday, they were able to open. And right before they closed, we had a container of boots that were shipped. And so that kept us on our feet. We just received those this week, and that kept our supply chain alive. So we are good for inventory, but it's a little unnerving for the next like 90 days because not only has the factory been closed, but all the suppliers have been closed. And so they haven't been able to produce components that are all basically done in Italy. So it's going to be a little bit slower, but I think the recovery, as long as everything goes sort of as planned and they don't have another spike, I think we'll be pretty good because we sort of front loaded our inventory this year because business had been pretty good that we front loaded our inventory. And I think we should be pretty secure from the supply side. So, and then we have no visions of changing it to any place but this factory because they've been very good to us and we have such a great relationship to be able to build boots in the mountains of Italy. And they're not only just a factory, but they're friends of ours. You know, they're like family at this point.
Yeah, that's the thing. We have factory partners in Vietnam that we work with, and it's a personal thing. You know, you don't see them all the time. Certainly our crew goes over there several times a year. I'm yet to visit, but they become people that you're chatting with throughout the night and really, really connect with and know and are really part of your family. And that's a tough thing when they're affected this hard.
Yeah. And it was really hard on the country of Italy. You know, it's a very hard on the country of Italy. You know, I can't even imagine what it was like in the Lombardy area and the Milan area where it was very much the hot zone. They only had a couple cases of COVID in the valley where leading up to the mountains where we build the boots. So it wasn't as bad there, luckily, but they weren't taking anything for granted, and we were on lockdown. And, you know, it's just like, it's sad, the restaurants and retailers here in our area, it's quite worse there. They're not going to open their restaurants till June 1st at this point. So
ooh, that's a culture that certainly relies on eating out.
Yes, exactly.
In the world. You've been open now for about 4 or 5 days, Kurt. I'm interested in knowing about what you've been hearing, from your customers, what things they perceive as different, maybe differently than they had in the past, or their desire to be outdoors or their level of enthusiasm. I'm wondering, what are you hearing from the people walking into Schnee's in downtown?
You know, one of the things that is very touching about the whole thing is customers are coming in and checking on us, you know, mm-hmm. And at the same time, they're buying something. They're voting with their dollars and helping us along through this. But at the same time, there's a personal thing. They're coming in and checking on us. You're checking on it. How are you guys doing? You know, wanted to see you. Haven't seen you in a while. You know, it's back to the people side of things. But at the same time, we do see a focus on our outdoor product, whether it be a hiking shoe or a running shoe or a rain jacket or outdoor stuff. You know, the fashion side, I think, you know, once we get some recovery on the social side of this COVID thing and people are getting together and having to go to a business meeting, I think the fashion side will come back, but it's going to be slower to come back. We're lucky to have here in Bozeman is a lot of local trails. GVLT has delivered some awesome trails that we can all get out on and social distance. And so people need outdoor footwear. And so I see a lot of that stuff, whether it be a small backpack to go with a pair of shoes or for day hiking or whatever. I see a lot of that happening. And so down to the product, it's that. Down to the people, it's customers are really just wanting to support Bozeman, and not just us, but they want to support every downtown business. And I see that a lot. I see couples coming in, glad you're open. I see people coming in front, glad to see you guys, you know? And so that's really touching about this whole thing. And I think Bozeman has always been strong from the local side. And I've never really wanted to fly the flag of local, but I've always been happy with the local and the fact that we are a family-run company here on Main Street, where all our money stays in this community. And I think that's one thing that's really cool about downtown Bozeman is we have a lot of that, and the locals really support the locals.
How is that? That's interesting. I wanted to talk to you about that, about you're very tied to this community, both personally and the business of Schnee's. how does Bozeman play into the Schnee's sort of identity? And has that changed because of this? Has it become, you seem to be more appreciative of it, but talk to me about what Bozeman means to Schnee's.
You know, we find ourselves in what we think is the best community in America. And actually we find ourselves, and we say this all the time, we're on the best corner of America as well. You know,
you have a good corner.
We've always been very community tied, whether we support Reach here in Bozeman or whether we support GVLT or whether we support the many number of organizations that we love to be able to be benefactors of our decent business that we have going. We're also a community center right here on Main Street. You wouldn't believe how many times I hear from people, I'm just meeting my friend here for lunch. We become a sort of a meeting place. And that I don't think will go away either. I think people are hungry for Main Street. I think people are hungry for Main Street. And I'm a Main Street guy. I live downtown. I do all my business downtown. I love our downtown. And we have this beautiful Main Street that is coveted by many communities around Montana and around our country. You know, they come here and like, wow, I wish our downtown was like that. And I think this COVID will only do better things for our downtown. That's my view on the thing, you know? So when we recover from this and, you know, Lord willing, we don't have any other spikes and stuff, this thing will benefit our downtown. And the community will rally around our community. And we want that for everybody from West Main Street to downtown. I'm not wishing any ill will on anybody, but Bozeman, it will be strong through this.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're already starting to see more people walking around and feeling comfortable and really kind of, we've also had some great weather recently, which has been nice. A little bit of rain, but generally pretty warm. And it's good to see people hanging out on the corner of Black and Main, about four blocks from where I am right now. So I'm very familiar with your part of the neighborhood. I'm wondering, you're personally very active, you know, and your family's personally very active. But I do know from firsthand knowledge, you've been very busy over the last couple of months, I think, as we all have, trying to figure out how we operate temporarily, how we make long-term effect. What are the things, when you look out a couple of months from now, that you really want to do that you haven't been able to do? Is it travel again? Is it hit backpacking trips? Or what is Kurt and his family looking forward to doing?
I think it's walking. I think it's walking around our town. We've gotten out a lot more on trails. And I think it's, you know, we have been together as a family for, it will be like 8 weeks at this point, when we kind of get through this thing. And my son, who didn't live with us, came back home and started living with us. And, you know, we've all been together and we've cooked together a lot more, and we've come together as a family. And that's the binding tie to this whole thing, is my family. But at the end of the day, what we want to do is we want to walk, and we do long to travel. You know, we are going to miss that this year. I don't think it's going to be what it has been in the past for us. But I'd say in 2021, we're going to be walking. In 2020, we're going to walk to travel in 21. I have a vision of doing the coast-to-coast trail in the UK, and I got to be prepared for that. It's 189 miles across the UK. I'm close to 50, and I think my future is going to be all about the trails and all about getting on my feet and staying walking for as long as I can. So that's my future, and that's our future. So
that sounds like a pretty great future to me. I know everybody's looking forward to getting out there, and the trailheads have been pretty full here in Bozeman. So people are getting after it, and I think hopefully responsibly, and I'd encourage that for sure. It's been awesome to connect with you, Kurt. I did, you know, I was looking for some research on the internet about Kurt Smith. You know, I obviously know you, but I wanted to see if I could find anything out about you that I didn't know, which I did. And we've talked about many of those things here, but I'm wondering if you're ever confused with Kurt Smith of Tears for Fears, one of my favorite bands of the 80s. And I I have to say, you have to work on your SEO because he does come up first in the Google search for Kurt Smith with a C. Yeah. Kurt.
I don't know if you saw the acoustic thing he did with his daughter. He did an acoustic video recently with his daughter on, I forget what the song was.
But I think it was Mad World, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was.
No, it was awesome. And I said, that's not Kurt Smith that I know. And I thought, oh, I didn't realize that's, I've listened to Tears for Fears for a greater part of my life, probably more than I should admit. But that new Mad World, I'll put a link to that in the show notes, because that is a pretty cool one with his daughter.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I have been confused with him. I can't sing quite as well as him or play the guitar, but yeah.
But you're very close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kurt Smith, this has been really fun chatting with you. I appreciate everything that Schnades has done for our community. And it's been wonderful to talk about what's going on there and where your future lies. And I know it's going to be a bright one here in downtown Bozeman, and look forward to seeing you in the store and look forward to the return of the footstool and everybody's life there. And for that personal connection with footwear.
Yeah, Rich, thank you. That was awesome. Awesome conversation. And thanks for the partnership with Oboz for many, many years and many years to come.
Absolutely, my friend. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, and we'll connect with you soon.
Thank you, Rich.
Thanks for joining us today on the True to the Trail podcast. And special thanks to Kurt Smith from Schnees for joining us. You can continue the conversation with Kurt and Schnees at their website, schnees.com. That's schnees.com. For any comments about this show or suggestions for future episodes, shoot us a note at podcast@obozfootwear.com. Have a great day, be safe, and remember, stay true to the trail.